Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never die." Bread. It is an important part of anyone's diet, a food staple. Staves off hunger, it provides nutrition and energy, and it's a comfort food. Whatever else may be going on, the smell of baking proclaims stability. Bread seems to anchor one to home, to where you came from. I've heard that during the Civil War, the Confederate soldier often had, carefully wrapped and preserved in his haversack, a biscuit, bread from home. He didn't carry that to eat. He carried that to cherish, in the same way that one would cherish a photograph of a loved one. Just about every nationality, every people, every corner of the world has some type of bread which with they closely identify. French bread is fairly obvious, but there's also matzah, pita, and of course, as already mentioned, the venerable Southern biscuit. But that doesn't even scratch the surface. Bread has even played a major role in world history. The emperors of ancient Rome kept the people docile by keeping them fed and entertained. Bread and circuses, so they wouldn't be concerned with all that boring political stuff. That sounds familiar. Marie Antoinette's famous line, "Let them eat cake," was her response to the complaint that the French people had no bread. And the rest, as they say, is history. Bread. It's that important. Bread is survival food and comfort food even for God's prophets. When Elijah the prophet was scared, fatigued, and desiring only to die, God sent an angel with bread and water saying, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." Having partaken of this bread, he was restored and encouraged to return to the place where God wanted him to serve, knowing how very much God cared for him. God provided Elijah bread from heaven. However, the crowds that followed Jesus in our gospel wouldn't leave him alone after he filled their bellies with bread. Apparently, these people were constantly in or on the verge of hunger. Now they thought, here's a man who provides food with plenty of leftovers. And this man is promising us that we will never hunger again. Those people had but one fleshly desire, one demand. Give us this bread always. Feed us. Keep our stomachs full. So caught up in their physical needs and desires, they didn't know or understand or really even care that Jesus was speaking about their very souls. God knows that a body must be fed. In order to grow and be healthy and strong, the body must have good, nutritious food, quality bread, more whole grain and less crispy cream. Yet the soul also hungers and needs to be fed. But what shall it eat? There's a lot of spiritual junk food out there. There may be 57 different varieties, but none of them really feeds you. None of them really nourishes you. It just makes you feel full. Only Jesus can say, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. I am the bread of life." Jesus is quality food. The nutritional value of this bread cannot be understated. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. That's because Jesus not only overcame the sins of gluttony, where the rest of us have failed, but he overthrew the prince of this world. Jesus defeated our worst enemy, who holds us captive to sin and selfishness. Jesus was crucified for our sins and failures to set us free to live before God. He rose again for us to show us the way of his victorious life. And what's more, he freely gives his life, the promise of the resurrection, to those who come to him to eat. And the real-time result of Jesus giving us this bread to eat is comfort. With this bread, we are anchored to our home, which is heaven. No other bread can get us there. No other bread is needed. Perhaps another problem in our text of this week and last has to do with understanding the purpose of the manna. The crowd surrounding Jesus hoped for similar manna like their ancestors ate in the wilderness. But that bread was bread of the law. God even said that it was given to see if His people would follow His commandments, which, of course, they didn't. They were instructed to gather only for the day. But with a lack of faith, bound by their sinful nature, they violated even this simple instruction and took more than they needed. And the excess? Well, the leftovers turned into worms and stank. So much for trying to fend for themselves for the future, so much for works righteousness. God alone had provided all that they needed, but the people felt that they needed more. They believed that what God provided today may not be there tomorrow, so they needed to take matters into their own hands. Sound familiar? It should. Today, we try and take tomorrow's needs into our own hands as well. Some people cozy up to older family members and try to get a sure hold of a big inheritance. Others will fail to put the best construction on an accident or a minor mistake in order to try and get the most out of somebody else in a court of law. Others resort to stealing or cheating or through other deceitful means. In each case, and these are just some of many examples, there is a lack of trust in God for the future through the honest means that God provides. For each of these sinful attempts of ours, we need to repent. We are focusing on the wrong bread, and we think the bread that we need is up to us to provide for ourselves. The people in Jesus' day didn't need more manna to prove their disobedience and lack of faith. 40 years should have been enough for their descendants to realize God's gracious hand and teaching. The manna ultimately served to point them and us to the greater bread from heaven, Jesus. Jesus is the living bread from heaven. We should have faith in this gracious gift of bread, apart from our failed obedience to the law. Yet even this faith is not possible of ourselves. Luther said, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in God, in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." This is his explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed in his small catechism. The Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel through the Word, the bread of life, which makes us alive through the gift of faith. By the Spirit, we are called to grow and become strong in the faith. This can only happen if we feed upon the bread of life. We feed upon it with our ears as we hear it read and proclaimed, with our eyes as we search the Scriptures for ourselves, and even with our mouths as we come to the altar and partake of the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, given and shed for you. Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. For you and I are still sinners. Yet also, by God's grace, you and I are saints. We are people of God, whom God wants to comfort with His forgiving food. Therefore, arise and eat often, for the journey is too great for us. But it is not too great for God, who is for us. For we have been called by God to live out lives of grace in a world of people that mainly care about the manna which they can gather and set aside for themselves and their future, never realizing and securing the true bread which God alone gives freely. Among these people, you may be scorned, ridiculed, and hated. You may grow tired and weak. But God would have them come and learn through your dependence on Christ to come to Him as well. Therefore, arise and eat, and keep yourself nourished with the Word, the bread of life, so that you and others may feast in the kingdom of God forever. For as Jesus said, this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. May God, the Holy Spirit, bear his sacred witness, seal to our hearts these words. Amen.